So we're living in a world right now where in a lot of this is happening in the kingdom. The Lord's coming back quicker. He's just coming back quicker. We better get right. And there's just this anticipation. And I agree, he's coming back quicker. But there is a grace you need now to wait. But not just wait and do nothing, but occupy. Occupy. So Jesus said, hey, listen, while I'm gone, I need you to occupy. I need you to remain. Take up residence. Do some stuff. Do some stuff. So as we continue in this series first, we got to understand some things about service and serving. We're serving at the pleasure of Jesus. And when he gave the last instructions to the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples, he was serious about that. He was serious. So there should be an element of service in your life. If you're not serving something, you're not serving, you're missing out on the blessing of serving. If you talk to people, and I would say this to help push you past selfishness. If you want to get out of yourself, serve someone. Serve someone. Some of the happiest people I know are doing things for other people. Let me put it to you this way. God will help deal with your selfishness by giving you kids. You don't even know how selfish you are until you start having kids who are like you. And then you begin to see, oh, I see what you did. I see what's going on there. I see what's going on there. Because, you know, you thought that you were good. Like, we good. Like, husband and wife, we good. You ain't good. You're not good. You're not good. He is shielding you from what you really are. And then the kids come, and then you realize, Lord, I got stuff I got to deal with. So when we sing songs like, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, these little tags, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely. You don't get to say that until you've been through some stuff, until you see some things about God. And you really begin to see things about God when you start having a family. And God has called you into his family, his family. And we have a little bit of a crisis in the church today because I would say as a part of the family, we're not taking up residence and we're not occupying like we should. Because everyone's out for them. They're out for them. You don't think so? Cut someone off the wrong way. Say something wrong to the wrong person. Get in line at the grocery store when someone else was trying to get in line. But you got in line. People are out for themselves. The book of Galatians, let's put it up there. Chapter 5, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Everybody say free. Free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. I'm not talking about you have to grovel at someone's feet and you worship at someone's feet and you serve them humbly like a butler or a maid, because that becomes bondage. But you have to learn the aspect on how to serve humbly and put someone else's needs before your own. What does that look like? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid himself down for the church. So I want you to look at yourself as a mat that your wife can walk over to get to where she needs to go. Not to walk over you and disrespect you, but you're the bridge to help her reach her potential. So if you're trying to figure out, my marriage is not working, well, what are you doing? How's your posture? If it's always give me, I want to receive, she's devalued. And you can't get what you want because she's not getting what she wants. This is not a marriage conference, and I shouldn't be doing this today, and I'm not going to do it. But if I start doing it, I'm not going to stop, so I better get out of it. All right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love you? Because you can't love properly if you don't have a correct perspective about who you are. That's why the Bible says, to have a sober mind. If you think you're something when you're not, you deceive yourselves. Have a sober mind. I'm thankful that Jesus has done what he has done in my life, and it gives me an attitude of gratitude, not to live as a pauper, not to live as a victim, but to live victorious and serve one another in a healthy way. A healthy way. I'm not trying to get hooked up with dysfunction. That's not what humility and serving is about. It's not. When I put my needs aside for someone else's needs, I am saying that you're more important to me right now. I'm putting my needs aside to meet your needs. It doesn't mean I'm not important, but it does mean that I'm trying to help you see better. Do you know sometimes breakthrough would happen quicker in your life if you would just do something for somebody else? If you would just get out of yourself and do something, I don't feel like doing it. I feel myself slipping. I feel like I'm getting idle. The Bible says, warn the idle. You need to get back up. You need to start serving someone. That's why we talk about serving in church. There's something about breakthrough and serving that goes hand in hand. You can't just sit up in the building and do nothing. You do that at your house. And even at your house, if you're really about God's business, you can only sit so long. You're made to move. There's like a limit, the limit. It's tough to watch. I can watch maybe a 3-hour football game if it's good. But after that, I got to get up and do something. I got to run. I got to eat something. I got to keep moving. Because left too long, things begin to change mentally. And if you don't think so, I want you to think the last time that you slipped mentally, what you were doing. You were in a situation too long, and mentally, your mind wasn't working the way it was supposed to work. And because it wasn't working the way it was supposed to work, all of a sudden you left something open. And all of a sudden now you're watching it, and now it's got you. It's quiet because you know it's true. Because you don't understand how fast the enemy gets in if you're not moving, and that if your mind is not working towards something. How are you cognitively? Cognitively. And so God lets you practice this on a lower level. Lower level. You're learning how to deal with people on a lower level. And eventually God will raise you up in your places of business, influence, school, wherever it's at. Because the higher you go, the more you have to deal with people. And so you have to learn some key things about understanding who God is on that level so God can trust you before you get to the next level. So a lot of times we're praying, God, promote me. I want to be at the next level. And God's saying, you can't handle that. You got to stay down here. You got to sit down here. You're not big enough to ride that ride yet. You know how it is. Yes, I am. Yeah. No, it's 48 inches. Honey, you're 44. You know, it's okay not to be where everybody else is. It's okay. It's okay that God's allowed you to be a single parent for a season. So you can help raise your kids without influence from a non-believing husband or wife. It's okay. You know that, right? God's not mad at you. It's okay for a season. If God has graced you to do that, do that. It's okay for a season. If God has graced you to do mental health counseling in your home, go ahead and do that. It's okay. You don't have to be where everybody else is at, but you need to be doing something. You got to be doing something. You may not be like you were, but you are who you are now. And are you moving in that direction and doing something with your life? Are you fit for the kingdom week one? Are you plowing ground? Are you making ways? Are you helping people see Jesus in your life? Are you doing something with the skill set you've been given? Or are you just sitting? Well, I'm in a season of waiting. We all are. But I am doing while I'm waiting. So where are you at in this process? Serving humbly in love. Well, I just had a bad experience. Well, let's have another one. Some people will do that, especially at restaurants. Everybody, we got some restauranteurs in here. They got a one restaurant, like, I had a terrible experience. They're getting a two. They're getting a two. And it's not if you had a bad one. Somebody else may not. So find another place that suits you. So wherever you are in your life, whether it's relationally, financially, in your job, Find a place, find a spot that you can serve and use your gifts well. Well, and don't use it as an excuse because you got burned somewhere else that you can't do it again. That is not God's heart for you. That's not God's best for you. That's why we've talked several times in here that if you've had relationships that have failed, pray that God gives you the grace that if the next one comes in, you're going to succeed. So when we serve, how are we doing it? And I think part of the problem is that we serve with the wrong motives. And you know how it is. Let's just be honest. And here we're going to tell everybody's story. Most of the time, or let's just seasonally in our life, we serve because it's about us. We want to be recognized, right? Especially if you're in the service industry, you want a gratuity. And I've been in situations where you have people serve you and they did a fantastic job. I've been in other situations where people have served and they were horrible, horrible. It didn't necessarily dictate what I gave them because the value is in the person and it shows a lot about you and what you give. So wherever you are in your life when it comes to serving, how do you look at people and where do you place them in this attitude of serving and how do you do it? Why is this hard to preach? Because most of us, when it comes to serving, we do it if it benefits us. But if it doesn't benefit us, someone else can do it. The problem is that doesn't work in the kingdom. When Jesus said, follow me, he said, follow me, follow me. He didn't give specific instructions on follow me when it's good, follow me only when it's good. No, he said, follow me and I will make you a disciple. And you learn to be a disciple when it's good, when it's bad, when it hurts. Or I'm serving you, but they're rejecting me. Now you know how it feels. And maybe you're not like me, or you've been in a situation like this, or you know people like this, where you'll serve if you know the outcome. Lord, if it ends well, I'll do it. That's not faith. That's not trusting that there's one who's greater than you, who has a purpose higher than you. I want the outcome before. No, you don't get the deets. As you walk, guess what? A little light opens up. And as you continue to walk, the light gets brighter. If it gets darker, he might be saying, listen, push away from that, walk this way. You have a light inside of you who will light the way, but you got to be willing to go dark. You can't go, I need a light all the time. You can't sleep like that. You need to understand that God wants to take you through different seasons of your life, and you may not know where you're going, but he knows. That's what serving Jesus is about. Some of you might be in jobs right now. You don't know why you're there. I'm here, but I'm teaching you something, he said, about who I am and about who you are in this position. It's not about you having it all together, but it's about me teaching you something. Do we have an attitude of serving, and are we doing it right? I think part of our problems, too, is sometimes our mouth gets in the way. We want to serve God, but we have a big mouth. So when you look at this scripture and he talks about it, basically when it comes down to it, he says, watch your mouth. Serve humbly in love, because if you don't, the opposite is you're going to tear one another up and it's not going to end good. That's why I'm a big proponent in living a life that's worth emulating and not talking as much. Or if you're going to talk, at least back it up. At least back it up. You know, at least back it up. If you're going to be on social media, at least say the same thing to my face when you see me. If you're going to write about something, at least be man or woman enough to talk about it in person. Okay. If you're going to say something to your friends, at least be man enough when I confront you to be able to say, hey, this is what happened. Because most people, what they do is they like to talk to someone else about it to avoid the real issue because they don't like confrontation. I don't want to really deal with this, so listen, I'm going to tell you about this, and this between me and you. This goes nowhere. And usually relationships end because someone said something. And it gets lost in translation, And when it gets back to you, is that person hates your guts and they want to have nothing to do with you, all because you forgot to call them on their birthday, which you didn't know you had to. And because now there's an issue there, and now you don't respect me and I don't respect you, and now there are issues back and forth, and you don't really love me. And you know what? It really goes back to a deeper thing. Okay? You never really loved me. And this whole process starts, and the enemy gets in and starts working it out. You know what? They never really did respect me. And you start walking backwards. They never really did give me my due. And all that I did, people leave churches like this. They never really recognized my gift. You know, every time I walked in, there was something funky. Now that I think about it, it wasn't funky. It wasn't funky. But you allowed the enemy to get in and twist your mind and your emotions. Now it's all funky. You had 8 great years, and because you had 1 bad experience, that was the worst experience ever. I'm never going back there. What happened to the 8 years of fruit? You just lost fruit in 1 experience. That's why God says, I keep you here, because you're not ready to go there. If you go there, and sometimes I allow you to go there, you'll lose it quick. Saul lost it quick. I'll keep you there. God said, I want fruit. Fruit. So I got you hooked in to where you are so you can bear fruit. Are you mature enough to handle disagreements and tension without bailing? Because if you can't, you're not going to be able to serve one another humbly in love. That's what serving humbly in love is. I don't agree with your attitude or your sass. But you know what? I love you and I respect you. And you know what? I would go to battle with you because I like your tenacity. Serving humbly in love doesn't mean about agreement. I don't tear my wife up when I don't agree with her, with my mouth. We have disagreements and things might get a little heated. They don't get heated to the point of where it's excessive. If you can't handle yourself, shut up. Or if you want to be handled, open your mouth. There are certain things I will not cross my wife about. Because every once in a while I get a glimpse of the mom in her. There are certain things she won't cross me about. There are some no cross zones. And that if you're smart enough, the Holy Spirit will give you a little wisdom and say, nah, don't. Bro, just leave it, man. There's power in agreement. Yeah, you good. I got you. It's good. But I can do that and not lose myself. But if you learn to serve humbly in love, you can hold it together because someone's holding you together. But if it's about you, you fly off the handle, it's over. It's over. 20 years, it's over one argument? No, because I wanted to say this for 20 years. Well, that's on you. Come on, people do this. They lose valuable relationships because of stupid stuff. And I would say this, if you're mature enough, if you want to have a conversation, let's have a conversation. If you ask my opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion. People, they get in all their heads like, well, I didn't mean you to say it that way. Why'd you ask me? You wanted it the way you wanted it to hear. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. Because it'll be hard not to say it. Why? Because when the Spirit of God is inside of you, it's hard to lie. Even when you try to sugarcoat it, it's tough. And you know it's tough when you do that. You can talk around something so much, it makes no sense, has no effect on what you're trying to say. I want you to imagine a counselor doing that. They don't like confrontation and rejection themselves, and so they don't really counsel. They pacify. And so can you imagine a counselor, a good one, doing that? And in the situation, all they do is nod. You're hearing all sorts of stuff, talking about things they're dealing with and addictions. No advice. time's up. Well, we'll see you next time. What a wasted session. You had the ability to affect someone's life, and you missed out on it because of your own issues. And people do that because of their own issues. They miss out on the ability to affect someone's life for the better. You have the power to change someone's life. And if you can't say it, God will get somebody else to say it. Part of serving humbly in love is also being able to speak the truth in love when it comes to it. That's why you're here. That's why you're occupying. You're not here to be soft. You're not here to pacify. You're not here to tiptoe around stuff just because it just sounds better. It sounds inclusive. It doesn't work. Some of the best advice I ever got was, you're just going to have to struggle with it and get through it. Well, what's the answer? The answer is, you got to struggle with it, struggle with Jesus. That's the answer. There is no fix. There's no medication. There's nothing that's going to fix the broke. Well, yes, it does. And I haven't had pain in, man, that aspirin has worked for me. I'm telling you, every time. But you have to keep taking it. I'm not making light of people who are on that. That's life. Because they need it. There are certain ailments. But what I'm saying for you, for people who are blood-bought, for people who are walking the walk, there are certain things I believe that God wants to break you free from that you're leaning on. No one wants to respond to that because you know it's true. Because the stuff that we lean on, the Lord's probably been doing one of these. Hey, man, it's been years. It's been years. Well, for you, like, it's been your understanding. You're leaning on your own understanding. We got to stop that because it's killing you. You're trying to figure everything out. And you can't control it. And because you can't control it, you want to start controlling people. And so you start controlling people. And because you can't control yourself, you're trying to control people. And people do that. They're trying to get fixed. And what they do is they try to fix other people. And in reality, the mirror should be here. Not there. And because you want to deflect, what you do is you deflect somebody else so you can't look at yourself. You have the power to change your life if you make a decision. It's a choice. You can argue all day. No, you have Jesus came so your life could be different. You don't have to stay in the valley. You don't have to stay a victim. You don't have to stay, well, it's never going to change. Jesus came so that your life can be different, so that you can start to rise up and overcome. Don't you think that the blood is enough? Don't you think the Spirit of God is enough to help you overcome? Well, I would say this. Some of you are in situations right now so you can overcome. So that you can finally get over the hump of I can't do it into yes, I can do it. You're waiting for someone else. Who's coming? And the Lord says, they're not coming. It's me and you. It's part of putting Jesus first. And little by little, God will start to allow people to leave. And the things you lean on, to leave. So you have to struggle with him to get over. Struggle with him. Not struggle with people. Struggle with him to get over it. Because you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're coming against principalities and powers that are over your head. That you can't beat naturally. So you're going to have to struggle with Jesus and how to beat it. He'll give you ways and ways to cope, ways to deal, but ways to get over. Not ways to stay in. Jesus wants me to be addicted. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. He came so you can be free. Jesus wants me to be sad. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus always wants me to be happy. That's a lie. Well, I thought he was supposed to save me from all my distress. Yeah, have you called out to him? Are you walking with him? Are you talking with him? Are you doing what he's asking you to do? If he is the answer, are you applying the answer to the test? Or are you trying to do it yourself? Well, I want to be comfortable. Wrong answer. But can I serve Jesus? And can I serve money? No. Doesn't work that way. Can I serve Jesus? And can I do a little compromise? I mean, come on, man, every once in a while. It amazes me about how brazen people are when it comes to smoking pot. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is out in the open. People hotboxing in their car at Target. Coming out, going to Target, smelling like weed, just walking in. And you can't tell me it's for medicinal purposes. You're just walking in. I'm looking at corners. Cannabis sold here. Liquid version sold here. Smoke shop signs. Turn in here, doing flips with the sign. Like, I'm going to come in and see you. I'm not coming in to see you, man. Just brazen, just walking in. Like, not even realizing what you're doing. Like, you get caught, but they don't care. Don't care. There are certain things that other people can get away with. You can't. You just can't. You walking with Jesus, there is a rope, a leash that is shorter. Your leash is not as long. Your attitude has got to be in check with the Lord. I'm not saying you're not going to have bad days. I'm not going to say that you're not going to, like, I'm throwing in the towel today. I'm not saying those thoughts don't come in. You got to rise up above that and say, nah, I'm going to keep doing it. Keep doing it. Because as a Christian, you're following Jesus. You're representing Jesus. And what kind of an advertisement is for Jesus? Every time it gets hard, you quit. Every time I get, well, yeah, I tried it. Yeah, I tried it, man. I grew up in church. You know, so I grew up in church. And then something happened and I got hurt. And who has not? That's why when we started the church, we're like, we're not doing it like everybody else. You're going to have to wrestle with Jesus, find out what he says about you, struggle, get over it, so you're not tied into people, experiences, what did happen, what didn't happen. Prioritize your emotional health. Get strong, get built, so that when the enemy comes in to take you out, you say, no thanks. No thanks. I'm not doing it like everybody else did it. I'm not doing it like they did it. I'm not doing it like that church did it. I don't care. If you want to sit down, I got stories. God has allowed us to see things, all the things. This, it will not be like the church you grew up in. It just won't. It just won't, because that is not God's heart. God's heart is for freedom and liberty, for people to keep him first. And when he says follow, we follow. That's what the kingdom is about. It's not following a denomination. It's not following a person. What is Jesus asking you to do? Lord, what's your will? First off, follow me. Wrestle with me. Struggle with me. Then in due time, I'll raise you up. And you'll realize that it's me. Somebody else didn't get you there, but I got you there. And when you know I got you there, you'll keep me there. You got the power to change your life because of who's living inside of you. Is it working? You don't understand my situation. Bro, everyone's got a story. Man, come on up. I'm in an abusive relationship. What do? Talk to Maria about it. First of all, before you do, talk to the Lord about it. And is it abuse, or is you got to work on some stuff? All right. Someone says something you didn't like, and so, oh, you're abusing me. What? This is where the world we live in now. You don't like what I said about you because you had an awful game. You sucked that game. You sucked. You did. Just sucked. There's some things in my life where someone said, man, I would say, you know what? You're right. I did suck that game. I'm sorry. An emotional, healthy person was recognizing and said, I got to do better. You tell someone now the way you're living, it's not right, man. I think God has a better way. Oh, man, you hate me, man. You hate me? What's up? I don't even know you. You hate me? What's up? And then you're going to cancel me on social media? I don't even care about you. Who are you? You got to have a right mindset about this stuff. What are you're worried about? If you're following Jesus, who cares who cancels you? Who cares if I'm blocking you? Go ahead. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to like what I post. I don't need you to like what I don't post. You haven't said anything in a long time. I don't want to. I'd rather talk to you in person. Because until you say something of value, then I'll pay attention. You see what I posted? No. You see what I posted? No, I didn't post anything. So caught up, man. Everyone's caught up. What are you doing? I gotta, every once in a while, I gotta tell Lexi, Lexi, get off of YouTube. She is so smart. She picks up, she's learning to cook off of YouTube. She makes stuff every day. She's like a little baby genius. We gotta monitor what she does, but for educational purposes, she does it. I'm cool with it. Learn, grow, do all that stuff. But when other stuff comes on, she recognizes, Mom, it was bad. She shuts it off. She has a filter. Let's all stand on our feet. Serve one another humbly in love. Not grovel, not beg. Put someone else's needs above your own in a healthy way. Am I pushing him to Jesus? Am I telling him the truth? Without entangling myself. Lord, for every person in here right now who is wrestling through how to serve well, Lord, give them that attitude that you had. As you put others before you, you push them to get better. You didn't foster codependence. You helped them to realize where they were at in their station of life, and you challenged them to move past it. Lord, I pray as people stay connected with you, they would grow roots, but they would bear fruit. Fruit that would remain as they elevate. I pray that the fruit that they have would remain. Remain. Strengthen them, Lord, for the fights that are ahead, because they are coming and they are ahead. But I thank you, Lord, that you've graced them for this season and that you will grace them for the next season. Because he who promises faithful, you said, you'll be with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Give us the tenacity to keep seeking you. Help us to continue to put you first. And as we do, you said all these other things will be added unto us. I thank you, God, even as Misty preached last week. Thank you this year. You're going to add. You're going to add. You're adding. You're not subtracting. You're going to add this year. And as you add, we're going to keep you at the center. And that people will know us by our fruit because of the one who we serve, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.